You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
There is huge opposition right now in the far north about the mapping of significant natural areas. Significant natural areas, or SNAs, are areas with most important remnants of native habitat, places where rare or threatened plants or animals can still be found. And the RMA requires Indigenous vegetation to be protected, regardless whether it's on public or private land. But this whole process of mapping has been quite rushed and has excluded Māori. So to talk more about the topic, I have ex-BFM contributor?
Journalist. Producer, whatever you'd like.
Tū Whenua Roa in the studio with me. Kia ora, Tū.
Kia ora, Ayana. How are you? It's very, very nice to be back, actually. I like the smell of this place. It smells like beer, I guess. Cigarettes.
Providing us with some sensory details about the BFM studio. I love it. So there's a big hikoi protest going on, or maybe it's just finished?
Yes, it wrapped up at about 11 o'clock, and it's all about, like you said, these SNAs, these significant natural areas. And so what we're seeing up north, and indeed around the country as well, is a backlash to SNA, significant natural areas. And they are essentially conservation land, for lack of a better term, right? And so the council can dictate where land is, where it's basically just native sort of flora and fauna, and that area that they've designated is then protected. So you've got restrictions around what you can do on it to protect that biodiversity. So you can't cut down trees, you can't go and, you know, have cattle or drive a quad bike through it, I suppose. Things like that, which in theory sound great, but what's going on up north with Māori is that, interestingly, about 43% of the land in the far north has been designated an SNA. Now, that's a big area of the country, and half of it is now an SNA. And half of that land is whenua Māori, right? Mm. And so the trouble is arising is where Māori landowners feel as though this is essentially a land grab by stealth. This is the local council sort of imposing their will on these landowners, and it's given them sort of flashbacks to colonialism, essentially, where the British Crown, through either legitimate, dubious, or just straight up theft, took a lot of that land up north. So what you're seeing is a lot of the land that isn't being put under SNAs, a lot of that nice sort of farmland that's quite productive, that's safe. But the land that's been left for Māori, which back in the day was actually considered wasteland because it was so unproductive, because it has all of that natural fauna and flora, has now been sort of said, well, actually, you can't do very much on it because we're going to put some restrictions on it. And so Māori from the four corners of Te Tai Tokerau started off yesterday up at the Cape, and they're making their way down to Kaikohe today. I believe they just wrapped up at about 11 o'clock to essentially engage with the Far North Council, because they say that there hasn't been any consultation, really. And the interesting thing about this politically as well is that there's one of the only events that I can think of in recent history that has completely galvanised all of the groups up north. So you've got iwi Māori leaders teaming up with federated farmers, you know, which is insane to me. They're teaming up because of what they see as an overreach by the council, essentially.
And it's interesting that it comes to heads of protecting our natural flora and fauna, which everyone wants to do, but it's just been gone about in the wrong way. So are there any consequences when councils or government kind of compromise te tiriti? What are the consequences for not following te tiriti, like it seems like has been done in this case?
Well, I think we're looking at the consequences right now. Māori are very, very upset. And it's interesting because other councils around the country, so primarily the one that I can think of at the top of my head, Waikato Tainui, they're quite happy with their situation at the moment with their council because there was proper consultation. So they talked with their council and they figured out which areas and what you can and can't do on it, and they designated specific areas where, sure, let's keep all these flora and these fauna alive and well, and let's not tamper with them. But that hasn't happened up north. I was speaking to Far North District Council Mayor John Carter yesterday, and he essentially admitted that the consultation process was, well, there wasn't one, really. The council just went ahead and did their own sort of mapping, and so they were flyovers. So they just got a guy in a plane with a computer, I guess, and he'd look out the window and say, oh, look, you know, there's a Cody tree. That's an SNA now.
Protect
oh, look,
that.
There's another one. There's an SNA there. So that whole process, it didn't involve Māori and it didn't really involve landowners as well. And this is the big sort of raruraru at the moment, is that there are more and more restrictions on what Māori can and can't do at a time when Māori really, really want to develop their land. We're in the middle of a housing crisis. Economically, the North is one of the poorest regions in the entire country, and a lot of the land that they're designating as SNAs could potentially be productive. You know, we could have not necessarily farms, but industry and businesses there that Māori people own and run by Māori for Māori to help in the recovery of that economy and to help to bolster it and to boost it up.
Because 43% is a lot of land.
That's a lot. There is a map somewhere online. I had a look at it. It's under the Far North District Council sort of draft policy, and they've got a map. And if you ever look at it, it's staggering, genuinely. It's freaky how much land it is. And you can also sort of do a highlight of where all the Māori land is. And of course, half of it is Māori land. And so I was also speaking to Te Anau Tuiono from the Green Party, of course, and I put this question to him, which is, of course, we want to protect the rights of Māori, we want to protect the land that they already have, but should that be at the cost of our environment, of our taiao? And what he said to me was very telling, it was very true, and it's, they shouldn't be treated as two things. The environment and treaty principles should be treated as one. And the failure by the Far North District Council to consult properly with not only Māori, but landowners in general as well, I think we're seeing the consequences right now, as you can see.
Because consulting properly is not Māori finding out about it from the council's website just a week ago. That's just unbelievable. I can't believe that.
Yeah, and that's true. And it's not even about consultation. What you'll see up north in particular is an appetite for more than consultation, an appetite for partnership, which was guaranteed to them under, of course, Te Tiriti o Waitangi. And so that's what they want to see. And this process right here, if it was done properly, wouldn't have resulted in a hikoi, but there wasn't anything done.
Mm. So there's been a pause on the mapping for now. Do you know what the next steps are?
I was speaking to John yesterday, and he was telling me he was going down to Wellington today to speak with James Shaw, who is the Associate Minister for the Environment, of Biodiversity in particular, and also a whole host of other Māori MPs. So he's speaking to Calvin Davis, to Willa Jean Prime. They are both MPs for the North. Māori Development Minister Willie Jackson's going to be there to discuss essentially how they can put a hold on this, because it's interesting. These measures, the SNAs, they've been in the RMA since the start, all the way back in the 90s. And we saw a rollout by local government minister Naya Mahuta last year. She wanted to put them on the table. But before that process was done, there needed to be a national policy, right? So then councils know what to do, essentially. A roadmap. This is how you consult. This is how you do it. This is how you blah, 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 blah. That hasn't been done yet. It's about 3 months or so until that plan comes to fruition. And so what we're seeing is councils essentially, you know, taking their own liberties with the policy and trying to figure out, you know, well, we need to do this right now, but we haven't gotten any guidelines, so we're just going to do it ourselves. And so it's a big mess from the top, in the middle, and it's all bleeding down to the bottom.
It sounds like it's, you know, been a big mess due to the RMA being a big mess from the start, being this such a complicated piece of legislation that people just can't get our heads around it. And what, 30 years later, we're just starting to act on some parts of it, but even that hasn't been executed very well. And now, so with the RMA, do you know anything about the RMA reform and like how that might affect this at all? I know that's a little bit in the distance.
Well, we'll see, because I understand that they're splitting it up into a few parts, essentially. So SNAs will probably come under one of the branches that deals with biodiversity. I think that enough noise has been made for, at the very least, the government to take notice. There's been sort of bad feedback, not just from the North, but also other places. So Ngāi Tahu, that's all of the South Island, it's all of the iwi Māori down there. A few months ago, they arced up as well, and they were complaining that they weren't consulted with properly. Mm-hmm. That process was amended. Hasn't happened up North. So I think there's enough noise now and enough recognition that there needs to be tighter procedures and regulations, particularly when dealing with Māori land.
Yeah, so you think the government should step in?
I think they are about to. I can't see a resolution where they don't.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.